Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. This episode features a special teaching from one of our monthly encounter nights. The focus of these nights is to experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, and worship Jesus extravagantly.
See here behind me, encounter nights are for followers of Jesus to gather in an expectant and safe atmosphere. Are you expectant? Tonight, that's a way to be, to receive things from God and all that He has. Where we depart from the normal, kind of going through the motions, to pursue and experience the presence of God, discover the ways of His Spirit, worship Jesus extravagantly, and minister to others. So our plan is to do a lot of all that tonight and see what the Holy Spirit has for each of us. We are focused on healing. Last encounter night, which was 2 months ago now since we took July off, and tonight, and then we'll do it next month as well as our plan, to do three in a row on healing. Healing is such a beautiful, wonderful thing, needed for us here, not just in the developing world where medical care is not as great as it is here, but even here and all part of the Western world where medical care is great, there are a lot of things that can't be fixed or helped through medicine, and we need healing. We need God's healing. It's for us. It's our inheritance. It's your inheritance. So I want to talk a bit about that tonight. I want to share a few stories. I'll also be repeating Don shared here a couple months ago on healing. It was wonderful if you were here. And I'll be sharing some of the same scriptures that she did as well, as this is something that we want to get in our spirit. And sometimes it's by hearing it over and over and over. And we want faith to grow inside of us. So why don't we pray, and then we'll start here. We're going to do some worship tonight as well. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for who you are and who you have caused us to be and made us to be, who you've called us to be. Thank you that you are so intimately acquainted with each one of us, not just the hairs on our head, but every thought that we think, every thought in our heart, in our spirit, you are fully aware. And we come here tonight to learn of you, to receive from you, to get closer to you, to press into you. And also, Father, we ask that you would grow our faith. Grow our faith. May the muscle of faith inside of us grow exponentially, even tonight, to believe you, to receive from you, to believe the very best, and to throw ourselves at you, to trust you entirely, to be so dependent upon you, and to look to you as our healer and as the provider of everything that we need. We don't want to look to the world first. We don't want to look to finances first. We look to you, Jesus. And that's even tonight, as we're gathering here tonight, we're all saying, just by even being here, we're looking to you. We're leaning into you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know, I think that receiving things spiritually and the way that God has designed things to be, they require faith. They require that we have faith to believe and receive it. You heard me say this past Sunday that everything we get in God, we get by faith. It's the way God did this. It's an amazing way to do it. I wouldn't have done it that way. I'm not God, thankfully. God decided that I'm going to provide all these things, and the way you receive them is by faith, by something that's not tangible. You can't just, you know, grab a hold of it with physically. It's obtained spiritually through this avenue, this bridge of faith that causes the gifts of God and the healing of God to travel over that bridge. We want faith to grow on the inside of us. A lot of conflicts that people often have. In fact, if I asked most Christians on the planet, can God heal? They would probably say, yes, he can. But if you asked him, you know, does he want to heal you? Then the answer would probably be a lot different than yes immediately. There'd probably be a lot of, not so sure. Or not so sure he does that today. He can, he's powerful. He used to do those kind of things. And then perhaps some people would say, yes, he still does today, but I'm not so sure it's for me. And so part of our battle, and Don again talked about this a couple of months ago as well, is us changing our minds to think like Jesus thinks, to have the faith of Jesus, to have the faith of God. Can you imagine having the faith of God? That's the kind of faith we're supposed to have that he wants us to have. I should say supposed to and bad person. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we get to have the faith of God, the faith to believe, to trust. Like many who received amazing things in the Bible, it was through that faith. And so we have to make this adjustment in our mindset to believe that not only can God heal, yes. Does he? Yes. Does he want to heal you? Yes. It's in his heart. And that's by faith believing that, grabbing a hold of that. That's a huge barrier to get through. And it's one that we have to do if we want to receive what he has for us. We have to believe the best about God and then go from even the best of God that he wants to do this. To even say that out loud to ourselves. He wants to heal me. Have you ever said that to yourself? He wants to. He likes to. He loves to. He paid for this. There's some self-talk that is a good thing. We met someone today who was back here behind the building saying all kind of crazy things. They were out of their mind. And saying they were talking to Elon Musk in the air. They were talking to all kinds of things behind the bushes and saying all kinds of crazy things that didn't make any sense whatsoever. But we are supposed to have some good self-talk in a good way. Talking to God, who's real, who can hear us, and speaking to ourselves. Speaking to our spirit. You ever talk to your spirit? Spirit? No, you're going to believe this. You're going to behave this way. You're going to receive this. I'm not letting my spirit man shrivel. I'm not going to let my flesh dictate. I'm not going to let fear run the show. Spirit man, you rise up and believe. Spirit man, line up with the Bible. Line up with the word, spirit man. We can talk to ourselves in that way. That's a great thing to do. The heart of God is for his kids. From Genesis all the way through, from history throughout, from the moment we were created, God is for us. He's not against us. He's for us. He's paid the price. He has done the work. He is full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of love and full of healing. And he desires those things for his kids. You know, if you're a parent in here, and most of you probably are, you know, when your kid is suffering or your kid wants something, they need something, and you have the ability to give it to them, depending on what it is, unless it's candy or something, but you want to give that to them. I mean, especially if they're hurting. I mean, it is in your heart to help. It's in your heart to heal. It's in your heart that they're safe, that they're taken care of. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more the Father does he want to give us good things? He wants to give us good things. It's in his heart to do it. He's a father. He's always been. Let me read some Old Testament real quick. Just going to rapid fire. Exodus 15, 26. I am the Lord, your healer. That's one of the first ways that he revealed himself to the people of Israel once he brought them out of Egypt. In Exodus 14 was, I'm the God, your healer. I want you to know me as your healer. Do we know him as our healer? He's my personal healer. And that was Old Testament. New Testament, even more so. Exodus 23, 25. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread, your water. And he says, and I will remove sickness from your midst. That's an old covenant. I will remove sickness from your midst. Whoop! I'll take it out. And here we are in a brand new covenant. He certainly wants to remove sickness from our midst, from the midst of our body, from the midst of our people, from the midst of our church. And it's a New Testament reality. Psalm 103, 2 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. He has a lot of them. Forget none of them. who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. I like that word, all. Who heals all of your diseases. There's not one disease too difficult for God. Not one disease is surrounded and kept from the power and the healing power of Jesus. Not one. He can melt all of them. Every single one. Psalm 30, verse 2. Oh, Lord, my God, I've cried to you for help, and you healed me. I cried to you for help, and you healed me. David is saying, I voiced what I needed from you. I cried out to you, and you healed me. Isaiah 53, this is in the New Living Translation. But he was pierced for our rebellion, speaking of Jesus, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. I love that. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. So that we could be healed. Jesus healed wherever he went. The greatest picture of the heart of God is the actions of Jesus. Jesus reflected the heart of the Father. Jesus did. If you want to know how Jesus feels, I mean, you want to know what the Father feels, watch what Jesus did. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus healed everywhere that he went, was always healing. He is the demonstration of the Spirit of God and the compassion and power of the Father. Jesus is that. Remember the blind men crying out in Matthew 9, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him. And he said, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, blind men, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. So interesting that he said that. He didn't just say, it will be done to you. Now, he said, according to your faith. If you're saying, I believe you can, that's enough. That's enough faith right there. So it will be done. Eyes open for the blind men. The demonized son, this man who had a son who was demonized. The father is heartbroken, goes to Jesus. Mark 9, 22. And he says that this demon has often thrown my son both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. Can you imagine? You're a parent. Your child is demonized, throwing themselves into the fire. You got to run in the fire to get them out. Throwing themselves in the water. You got to run in the water to get them out. You don't know what's going to happen next. You're living on pins and needles. Your heart is broken. You are desperate. That's the state of this man. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him a question. If I can, all things are possible to him who believes. That's that faith thing again. If you believe, it's possible. If you believe in me, it's possible. It is possible. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Wonderful humility there. I believe the best I can right now. And Jesus, help my unbelief. That's a great prayer to pray. I've prayed that. I've said that. Lord, I'm believing the best I can right now. Would you increase, would you boost, give a turbo boost to the faith that I have so that I can believe you more for what you want to do so that I can receive it. I want to receive what you have. Help my faith. If it's weak, if it's low, if it's less than enough, help my faith. That's a great prayer to pray. Another blind man, Luke 18, 41. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Lord, I want to regain my sight. Interesting, Jesus knew exactly what he wanted, but he asked him to say it. He asked him to say it. What do you want? Jesus knows the thought of every person. But there's something about us voicing this request. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. There it is again. Your faith. Your belief in me, your trust in me, your belief that I can do this. Through that, that's the bridge where this healing for your eyes comes. Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, you all know the story. 12 years she suffered, spent all of her money. She crawls behind Jesus with a thought in her mind that was unprecedented. There was no teaching about this. But she got this thought. She had this imagination. Imagination. Sometimes the imaginations of our heart and our mind are beautiful before God when it imagines him doing something wonderful. And she imagined that if I just, as she spoke to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. This woman crawled behind him, touched that hem. Power flowed through his garment, from him into his garment, into her hand, into her body, changed her body, and she created brand new healing theology through her faith. Faith created brand new theology, something that had never been taught before. But she accessed the presence of God, the healing of God, by this wonderful thing, faith. Imagining what Jesus might do for her. And then stepping out. There's no limit to what Jesus healed. No situation or healing too difficult. One of my favorite scriptures about healing, Matthew 4, 24. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill. All who were ill. Those suffering with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Jesus healed all who came to him. He didn't heal every person everywhere that he went, that he saw, but he healed all who were brought to him. Everyone who asked, they were healed. Jesus was trying to not impress us with his healing power. And I know some of the theology that you may have heard, maybe even taught, that the reason that Jesus healed and the apostles healed was to demonstrate that Jesus was God, or the apostles to demonstrate that they were the apostles. And then once they died, that stopped because they don't need to show that they're apostles anymore. So healing stopped. That's one of the teachings that is out there amongst the body of Christ. It's a false teaching. Jesus didn't heal to show off. The apostles didn't heal to show off, to demonstrate that they're an apostle, to show that their title is valid. They healed. Jesus healed because he loves people. Oh my goodness. It's not about just showing off. It's about compassion and a heart for people and a love for people to see their sickness, disease, illness gone because he loves us. Because he loves us. And the Holy Spirit is still moving in the same way. He is still healing. Jesus is still healing. That didn't stop, as you all know, 2,000 years ago. This is continuing. The love of God has not died. The power of God has not diminished. And then he was also showing us how to heal others and gave that ability and that power to his followers, volunteers, disciples, apostles, and those who were not apostles. We see Stephen and Philip and others praying for others to be healed throughout the New Testament. And not only can we receive healing as a believer, we can give healing. Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leopards, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do the same that you've received. Give it away. That's why it's wonderful when you get healed of something to pray for someone else who has a need for that same thing. That's a wonderful thing. If you've been healed of something, wow, give that healing away to someone else too. If someone has that same sickness, illness, whatever, and you've been touched, oh boy, go pray for them. Give that away as well. Mark 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Beautiful. Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. That's that belief. That's that faith again. I want to grow, you know, I exercise. I'm supposed to exercise 3 times a week. I'm not doing that yet. Exercising twice a week, sometimes once. And I'm working on my muscles. I don't want my muscles to shrivel up with age as that normally happens as you age. I want them to stay strong. And to do that, I have to exercise them. And it's not enjoyable, and it doesn't feel great, and I don't feel like doing it most of the time. But I'm committed to staying with that. And we need to be committed in the same way to increasing my faith. What if your faith level right now was to grow for the rest of your life? Right? We can do that. The spirit man is getting older, but it's not aging like our body. Our spirit man can get stronger and stronger and stronger throughout time as we exercise our faith, as we build it, as we ask God to help grow it, as we step out and believe and trust. Think about this. Let's say 10, 15 years from now, all of us, that we are walking in so much faith that the impossible is happening around us. As we're growing in faith, as we're believing God, as we're trusting Him more, as we're stepping out, as we're building our muscles of faith. I want to be that way. There's our part and there's God's part. I think this is important. Our part is to believe, faith, to receive also, and to respond. To believe, to receive, and to respond. Those are our parts. Remember when Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, and they were healed along the way. They had a part to play. Jesus said, here's the healing, but they didn't feel it yet. But as they started to go, they got healed along the way. Interesting. As they responded to what Jesus asked them to do. Can you, that video, Jennifer, do you have that? Can you put it up without playing it?
It's a bit cold today.
For a second, just stop it for a sec.
It's a bit cold today.
There we go. That guy's name is Rick. Rick's a friend of mine. If you were here 4 or 5 years ago at Awake, he came up here with his wife and he was on the stage and I had him share the story he's about to share and show this video. But I want to show it again. I've known Rick for 30 years, nearly, 29 years. He and his wife, Lynn, I used to work with his wife. And Rick is in construction. He's a great contractor. And he, it's probably been 12 years ago or so, he was on the roof of a house and fell off. When he landed on his heel. And it shattered his heel. Broke his hip, shattered his heel. I can't find the pictures. I have them somewhere on my computer. Of the x-rays. He has 9 pins in his right foot. Still. 9 pins in there holding his foot together. But the damage to the nerves and whatever else caused excruciating pain even after the surgery. And he couldn't work anymore. He couldn't walk on it most of the time. Limping around. It hurt to have a sheet when he's at night in bed. It hurt to have a sheet touching his foot. Miserable, painful. He's a jogger. He's a runner. Or was. And all that stopped. Lost his job. You can imagine the difficulties. The feelings of depression. All kind of stuff from that injury. Really difficult. And then he said, in his own words, he said, I began imagining myself running pain-free. I think about that woman with the issue of blood. She imagined Jesus healing her. My friend Rick said he started imagining himself running like he used to, pain-free. This was 6 years of pain, 6 years of not being able to walk properly, 6 years of no work, 6 years of pain. And then his wife, Lynn, started to fast for him. So she fasted. You know how many days she fasted? She fasted a long time. She was fasting and praying, asking God to help. And then there was a healing meeting, much like we're having tonight, at a church an hour from here. He goes to the meeting. The man at the end of sharing said, I'd like to invite everyone up first who have incurable things. And Rick just sat there because he was thinking cancer, things like that. And his wife elbowed him. Rick, what you have is not curable. They can't fix it. You need to get up there. So he said, oh, that's true. So he hobbles up. The man prays for Rick. He feels nothing. Does not feel a thing. And it's just like, okay, God. He went and sat back down. And then this next thought enters his mind. I'm going to go outside and test it out. Didn't feel a thing. So he goes outside and he starts walking on it. And it's like, that doesn't hurt. So he walks back and forth in front of the church, out in the street. That doesn't hurt. So walking a little faster, picks up his speed a little bit. No more pain. So go ahead and play this video. This is the next morning at his house. He videos himself. It's a little hard to hear during one part.
Man, it's a bit cold today, but I just wanted to go running, so bear with me.
Could have walked for 6 years. Every time I see my friend. And what was windy there, he said, I had trouble walking for 6 years, and here I am running. Here I am running. Didn't feel a thing, went his way, said, I'm going to test this out. Jesus healed him as he was walking. Thank you, Lord. Remember when Elisha said to Naaman, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Here's your part. Jesus wasn't there at that point, but God is healing you, but you got to go do one thing. Not a formula, but an action of faith. Go dip in this dirty river, which he didn't want to dip in, 7 times. He comes out, skin brand new, like a baby. Remember when Jesus says, what do you want? Sometimes, again, we need to voice it. This is what I want, Lord. I want to be free. I want to be whole. I want to be healed of this disease. I want this changed. I'm saying this out loud to you, Jesus. Acts 3:6, Jesus, well, no, not Jesus, the disciples, the apostles, rise up and walk. I doubt he felt anything at that moment. Probably not till he started to get up and his bones started coming back. His muscles strengthened as he began to move on the invitation of Jesus. Sometimes for us, God may be telling us, quit smoking, quit eating so much, change your diet. There are things to do that are our part at times. Not that that's the healing agent, but there is some things that we also need to do. Sometimes I think it's not wise to do all the wrong things and expect God to heal us when we're not doing the things that we know we should be doing. So sometimes that's an element of it. Again, no system, no formula, but responding to what the Spirit is saying to us. What is God saying to us to do? What is he asking me to do? So just to recap here, God has always loved people, has been the God who's the healer from the beginning all the way through, thousands of years. Jesus is the perfect representation of his Father, and he healed everywhere that he went. That's God's heart. Jesus has the power now, and he's willing now, and he wants to today. Our part and our posture, respond to him, whatever he's asking us to do. Again, no formula. There's not one thing that fits every person. Each individual had a different thing to do, to act in faith upon, and they were healed. Freely you've received, freely give. You get healed, you can give that away. You can pray that same thing for someone else. When I was young, 11 or so, I had asthma during my younger years, pretty bad. Sometimes I felt as though, whether it was real or not, I felt as though I was dying. When I could not catch my breath, sometimes it was night when I was by myself, it was really scary then. I remember even I would have these asthma attacks regularly. Even when I was hunting with my dad or alone by myself. And I remember after being prayed for many, many, many times, having an attack one evening, I crawled up the stairs to my parents' bedroom, into their room, on my hands and knees, woke my dad up. I remember his feet swinging over the side of the bed and him laying his hand on my head as I'm on my all fours again, which he prayed for me many times before. But when he prayed that time, it went away and it never came back. I haven't had an asthma attack since that day. Now, why did it take that many times? I have no idea. I have no idea. What I know is I got healed of asthma. And it is gone. I remember I used to get warts, regularly warts. Kind of a weird thing on my arms. Just get warts on my arms. Especially one arm, more than others. That's my right one. We'll get warts all the time. Frustrating. Compound W in the 80s, that's what you're using. Trying to get rid of these warts. Now, I remember I was overseas and I just remember this thing bothering me. I was there for like a month and a half by myself, kind of on this government mission, and had this little old apartment I was staying in. And I remember just saying, I am sick and tired of warts. So I started cursing these warts on my arm, telling them to fall off, telling them to fall off. I'm done with you. Quit growing on my arm. And as I was doing one, I was in the shower. This time I can just very vivid as I'm speaking to this wart to get off, and it's like the water just washed it right off my arm, and I don't get warts anymore. They stopped. That was in my early 20s. No idea. I don't understand all those things. What I know is I don't get warts anymore. Sometimes we have to just go against whatever is happening to us, whatever is afflicting us, rise up in faith and begin speaking to that thing. Voicing what we are desiring and what we believe God wants us to have. And sometimes you have to do it over and over and over. Let your faith rise over and over. Say it again. Not quit. Keep going after it. Tori, do you mind coming up for a second? I want Tori to share this recent thing. Yes?
Well, a while back in the middle of the night, I had this just really severe attack. It was just like a demonic attack. I don't know what else to call it. And it was so scary, and I was by myself, and I was like, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit started bringing to my remembrance other times where God had healed me very dramatically. And so I started, Lord, thank you for that time when I was so sick and thought I was dying. Thank you that you healed me completely, Lord. And mm-hmm. Then he brings something else to my remembrance. Lord, thank you when you did that and you healed me. And then he started bringing to my remembrance times when he had protected me, when my house had been broken into. And Lord, thank you when you protected me, or I had two gas leaks, two separate gas leaks, unrelated, going on in my house at the same time. And the Holy Spirit just started bringing these things to my remembrance, and I just started worshiping the Lord and thanking him. And then he started reminding me of financial provision that he had brought, very miraculous finances, and I started thanking him for that. And I don't know what all happened. My faith was up, and within 15 minutes, I was completely healed.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One of many, I know we have many, many testimonies here in this room of what Jesus has done for you in the past. We have a friend here who came back from the dead right over here, right? Actually, come on up. Let's do a two-minute abbreviated. If you need to bring your wife, that might be helpful too. She's very good at this story, but you can give us the abbreviated one, just because it's amazing.
February 3rd of 2019, Super Bowl Sunday. It was halftime, and I had the Widowmaker heart attack. Just quickly, they lost me over and over. They ended up pronouncing me, put me back on a ventilator, and stuck me in a room so my family could come from the Carolinas to Arizona to say their goodbyes. During that, my wife refused to give up. She kept praying to God. And
he was in complete organ failure. They were supposed to take him off life support. Other things obviously intervene. Holy Spirit intervened. And the doctor that declared him the day before said, no, it's impossible. 54 minutes with no oxygen. The brain is dead. The brain's like paper mache, add water, it's going to be gone. He was in complete organ failure. And it was just, you can't. And I remember in that room saying, you're divinely appointed to be my husband's physician. Your science and education and my faith, just dance, but don't quit on him. And when he would speak over, read the things that he spoke, I laid hands on his head and started praying about this brain that they said would not work. And then as he spoke over his organs, I laid hands on his body and just started praying over those. And I said, where you speak death, I speak life. Mm-hmm. And he got frustrated, not at me. I think he was frustrated that he couldn't help me get to an understanding. And in that very minute, a double rainbow was placed outside his hospital room window, and it was game on for me after that. So he spent 10 days in a coma, 34 days in the hospital. They said he wouldn't walk and all kinds of other things because of nerve damage from an infiltrated IV, and it's really, really rad and super longer than two minutes. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway.
It's an awesome story. It's an awesome story. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Connie and Reed. How about that? 54 minutes, no oxygen to the brain. But God. But faith from a wife. Right? Exercising. Look what God did. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're gonna transition now and pray for anybody who needs healing, who wants to be healed of anything, physically especially. And I love what the man who prayed for Rick said. Let's pray for the incurable first. We got the God of the impossible, who does the impossible. Everything that God has ever done is impossible to do. But he made it happen, right? So if there's anyone, if we could have our healing teams, go ahead and come on up and be ready. And maybe the first in line, just to those, if you have an incurable anything, where there's not an answer medically to help you, let's go, you first. We're going to go ahead and start. We're going to worship as we pray and minister as well. So we're going to worship those who are out here. If you're not going to receive prayer, let's just worship Jesus, experience him, and perhaps he may even show you a word of knowledge or something for someone else in here, or pray for someone next to you. And if we need more teams to help pray for people, we will do that. But let's receive what Jesus has for us, all right? Let's pray first. Lord, we ask even right now that our faith, again, would be increased. Would be increased. We look at you. Here's our eyes, Lord. We look at you, the lover of our soul, the one who made us, who saved us, who loves us, who paid the price for our healing. We look at you. We see you as our ultimate source and the one who wants to do things that we cannot do, that no one else can do. You're the one that does those things. You're the God of the impossible. You're the Jesus of the impossible. And we ask, Lord, that you would heal tonight, that you would heal small things and large things, impossible things, incurable things, and even things that just are an irritation to us, that need to go away. Lord, we ask for your healing to be broad and narrow in every way. Touch every person here tonight that asks, that voices, I want to be healed of this. I want this to go away. Lord, I'm asking for your healing to flow, for your power to move. Thank you, God, that today is that day. Today is that day. Even if we've been prayed for, like I had, over and over and over and over for asthma, there are many in here probably who have been prayed for the same thing over and over and over. We're coming before you again, Jesus, knowing that you are the healer. We are coming before you believing that you want to heal, that it is in your heart to do that, even this night. In Jesus' name.